Blog Talk Radio.
Brought to you by Satanic International Network. You're listening to the news.
It's like you got four big dicks in the room, so who's gonna fucking slap this shit down first?
It basically, and then focus on the problem at hand. You're not dealing with the emotion, you're dealing with the issue.
Richard, it's been a big long-winded speech to offer this up today for you, gentlemen, but unfortunately I'm somewhat bankrupt.
Now onto our show.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Vicino, and this is my co-host, Dark Pool. Dark Pool, how you doing today, man?
Man, I am excited as all hell. I'm here with my coffee and ready to piss everyone off.
Uh-oh. All right. We'll get to that, I guess, then, in just a minute. Yesterday it was my turn. Today it's yours. Yesterday was part one of this show, and it took a couple of really interesting turns. I thought it was very neat that we got a quote-unquote Christian, which I'm not so certain that I'm willing to attach that label to her after speaking to her. She seems to have surmounted some occult insight without any occult knowledge, and I thought it was really neat how she presented herself, because the way that she painted her paradigm, her personal cosmology, was in such a way that it's very viable, and in my mind is what the justification is for self-deification in the left-hand path. What she presented was that everything, all things, are all a part of this force that she calls God. Now, she had some kind of fantastic things that went along with it that were completely subjective in terms of, what I would classify them as. But overall, it was really kind of unique, and it was neat to get somebody who was from the opposite side of the coin, so to speak, up on the air yesterday to talk to us a little bit about spiritual pipe dreams. And she kind of led me into realizing something, but I just totally got derailed in my train of fucking thought. So with
that's
all
right.
That,
if I could build up on what you were saying, because I just downloaded the show and listened to it. It was a great show, and that was definitely unexpected, which made it even better. So. Honestly, what I found interesting about her was that she couched in a lot of what she was trying to say. She was putting it in terms of what I would consider, you know, the Christian cosmology. She was saying, oh, you know, you don't understand the Lord, you know, that guiding force that brings you through these things, that is actually showing you this experience. You don't understand his ways, which could also be like, I don't know, the predetermined way, you know, what your path. It was interesting to see how these occult concepts were weaved into these old terms, but she was trying to use these old terms to get people to understand something a little higher. But obviously, what she failed to grasp is that we broke out of that terminology ages ago, at least a good majority of us.
Right, right. As a matter of fact, at one point in the chat room during last night's show, Wicked Puppy, one of my favorite characters running around the internet, made the statement that she could, spend some time studying psychology, and she would, benefit from it. And I really got to thinking about it as I was reading that, and realized that had she just studied Plato for, a very short period in time, she, she maybe have. Would have been able to hone these ideas a little better than what she was doing. So I just thought it was really kind of neat, because I don't necessarily even think that she needed to get into occultism. Just a good firm basis in philosophy or psychology would have given her a better tool set to articulate the ideas that she was trying to communicate.
Absolutely, and I would also like to add that I want to call dibs on that show. I want it to be a Saturday show if we do a follow-up on Dreams, and I definitely would love to invite her back on. Because one of my strengths, I mean, not so much at the tarot, ironically enough, but one of my strengths lies in dream interpretation. I have a book full of my dreams and my own interpretations of it, and I'm pretty confident in that area.
Excellent. All right, well, we're kind of burning away a little bit of time on last night's show, and that's all fine and dandy, but today I kind of promised we'd take things in a little bit of a different direction, and it's because you had made a suggestion when I asked you for, your contribution to ideas for shows, and your suggestion was limitations within the left-hand path.
Absolutely.
First, I'd like you to tell us how it ties in, and then from there we'll work out what it is you want to say.
All right. Well, first of all, recapping a little bit on last time's show, not much. You brought up different definitions, like from dictionary.com. You brought up World English Dictionary, which I think is more appropriate for the direction in which I see the show going. Really quick before I get to that dictionary definition, I wanted to say that the subtext of this show, which I wanted to add, was, limitations within the left-hand path, or is it just false perception? Now, getting back to that dictionary definition, we talked about pipe dreams, and it said that the definition of pipe dreams was, it's a fanciful, impossible plan or hope. But my question is, what defines it as impossible? Now, obviously, if you are going to have a goal or a plan, you want to keep it within the terms of reality. You want to work with natural laws and not against it. Like, I'm not going to plan anytime soon to become Superman and go around flying around and burning things with my eyes and, like, punching through, entire buildings, etc. That would be definitely a pipe dream. But as far as goals go and working towards them, that's a different story altogether. And before I go any further, one of the subcontexts of the show, it's funny that we should start a show called Pipe Dreams, because I've been accused of that before, having some ideas and having them accused as pipe dreams. But the overall theme of this show, which I'm bringing up, is while some of the goals that I may have, I see some of what people perceive themselves to be. And Beast, you can understand this a bit, being a fourth way guy, as a form of imagining and a form of, idealizing themselves as something more, than what they are. And that's an example
Absolutely.
Of where the left. And that is an example of where the left-hand path can be a little bit dangerous, if not misleading. You need to see where you need to honestly see, not just imagine yourself to be, your ego could get in the way. But you need to see where exactly you fall within the left-hand path and where exactly, what exactly you can accomplish. Weigh your strengths and your weaknesses. Otherwise, even Anton LaVey coined that as counterproductive pride. And that's
right
what
on.
I see. That's my major criticism of the left-hand path at this time. I see a lot of counterproductive pride, even though people hold up, Anton LaVey's book and say, this is awesome and you should read this. It's like a lot of people I see are falling short of that. And there's a lot more I could get into, but I want to let you have the mic.
All right. I just wanted to kind of actually touch down on my line of thinking on what you're talking about. I say often that people exist in a superposition of three states. Those three states go like this. There's the state of what they think they are. There's the state of what others think they are. And then there's the state of what they really are, which is usually somewhere muddled in between, what they think they are and what others think they are. So I can certainly see where you would definitely caution people, because if you lean too heavy towards what you think you are, or you lean too heavy towards what other people think you are. You're veering way off to the left or you're veering way off to the right. And what you really are generally tends to, you know, run a much broader highway in between. You know, one of my criticisms of my former allegiance, one of my criticisms to him was that though he was very capable of taking other people's criticisms, you know, and not that definitely as in like taking it and applying it, that's actually my criticism, is that he didn't apply the criticism so much. But he was capable of receiving criticism without getting all butthurt about it, which is one of the things that I would compliment him on. So compliment him on the fact that he wasn't offended by what people would say so much, but he would fall short in actually seeing, or maybe he didn't, but this is just, you know, from my perspective, he would fall short of actually seeing where realistically other people's criticisms took hold. So, yeah,
right.
I mean, in my mind, that's definitely a form of a pipe dream.
Okay.
Is it a spiritual pipe dream? That's
See, that you're hitting on many topics that I want to get into right now, and one of them being your former predecessor, Venger Satanus, man. The one thing that I agree with, here's the thing. I have disagreements, obviously, with Venger, but I also have agreements, and I've told this to him over the phone. We talked at great lengths. And one of the agreements, and this is where, let bring it on, people, let's do it. One of the agreements is on a form of unification. Now, when I say unification, my idea, which opposed to his, is the goal. I mean, the one area in which I see Venger Satanus failing in is not so much the idea, excuse me, but what we would term a messiah complex. And this could be found in various forms and various posts that he's made where he wants to be at the head. Now, any good goal worth working for will require one to step down from time to time if it is absolutely necessary. Case in point, Michael Aquino in the Temple of Set, when he handed over his leadership for a time and then was asked to come back. You know, so, I mean, as far as unification within the left-hand path goes, if there is to be any form, if there is to be any structure, it's towards a goal and towards a means of which benefits everybody.
Certainly, which why I actually would say that unification is not a necessary thing, because there is at this point no single goal that's going to benefit everybody.
Well, yeah, it's not going to benefit everybody. You should, I mean, you're not going to try to get everybody in the world on your side, but what you want to do, the goal of it, manifesting, you know, change to occur in conformity with will. And one of the things that I agree with Venger Satanus is the point that he's trying to get left-hand path into politics. Same thing with Jack Winters. Jack Winters in the United Satanic Empire is trying to get people behind him for various things. I mean, take gay rights out of it, for example. There are other things that he's involved in where he's trying to bring the left-hand path manifested into this reality. And one of the things that I would say is that... a little bit of derailment there. Give me a minute. One of the things that I would say is that we are left-hand path people in a right-hand path world. I mean, things, you know, laws that get passed, like the war on drugs that prohibit, you know, certain actions. You know, like marijuana should be legal. I don't care what anybody says. And things like... you know, a ban on gay marriage or a ban on what have you, like stem cell research because of morality. We're left-hand path people playing on a right-hand path field, and I would like to see that change. Even though gradually it's changing, you know, manifesting regardless, you know, it's unstoppable, but it's taking a lot of time. I would like to see a more proactive stance and to see left-hand path philosophy ideology in the zeitgeist. And this is this now I'm ready to take on whatever criticisms you got.
Okay. All right. Well, the first thing I'm going to say, man, is that I think you're selling you're selling a package that's one step short of the full stage. Left-hand path ideology is, in my opinion, the natural state of the world. This is why I'm in agreement with Jason King's postmodern Satanism. If you look around you, all things are interested in the preservation and the advancement of self. Now, people do tend to create this kind of false little play where, you know, the good of the many outweighs the good of the one and all that bullshit. But, you know, in the overall scheme of things, even that is a self-driven motive. So I guess my only criticism there in terms of that is that you're selling us short, man. It really is a left hand playing field with a very big right hand drape hanging over it. You know, it is only certain ignorances that prevent things from being in the state in which I think you are trying to.
But that's just it. I wanna see that kind of ignorance combated in whatever shape it takes. That type of ignorance. For example, we are in an environment where we are able to create. And I've talked to Venger about this. We're in an environment where we are able to create and manifest and put out things on Blog Talk Radio, put out books like The Five Books of Cain, Postmodern Satanism, Way of the Dionysian, etc. We are able to manifest these things, but we are in an environment that allows that. Now, if we were within a different environment, an environment that is threatening to take over, let's say, Islamic, you know, that's a threat. You know, like, not extreme Islamic, extreme cases that are trying to manifest their will, what Nietzsche would call the will to power, that clashes. That's also adversarial. That ignorance will clash with other people, regardless of whether they want it or not. So, in a sense, I am up in arms about that.
I understand, but here's the thing that kind of confuses me about what you guys are talking about. What confuses me is that if Islam were to become the dominant religion of the planet, it still wouldn't be the universal religion. There would still be people who would go, you know, I don't like this. I don't agree with this. This is not, you know, this is not the direction that I see things going. You know, this is not what's reality to me, and therefore I'm casting it out. So, you know, the battle itself is an unnecessary one because it's all about free will and free choice. And honestly, people can choose to be slaves. You know, even in the most dire circumstances where it's you're my slave or I kill your entire family, there's still that choice of killing your entire family, not to be a slave. You still have the option of choosing freedom. I think it was Nathan Hale that said something along the lines of give me liberty or give me death. I'm not sure if that was Nathan Hale or now I can't remember, but I think that was Nathan Hale that said that in the Revolutionary War. Go ahead.
Nathan Hale or Nathaniel Hawthorne. Anyways, no, but I know what you mean. I know what you mean. And that's the other. The other thing I want to bring up too is the fact that there are left hand path techniques, or what we would consider left hand path, and then there are right hand path techniques. And there was a video that Jason King had put out a long time ago called. It was when Barack Obama was first elected as president, and he had spliced together Martin Luther King's, you know, famous I Have a Dream speech, you know, with the civil rights protest. And then, of course, right next to it afterwards was Barack Obama taking in office, you know, after he had won the election. Now, my question to you was that left-hand path ideology, left-hand path thinking that got, you know, us to that point, or was that right-hand path techniques? Now, I understand the point he was making, saying that it is the satanic current that worked through all of that that got us to this point. But how did that come about? Was that through a group unifying? Was that through people pushing things forward by unification, by uniting? Or was that through people, you know, sleight of hand, manipulation, etc.? Wouldn't that say that the left-hand path isn't, is dependent upon the right-hand path? Wouldn't they have to be interrelated in some way?
Absolutely. I'm going to say, first and foremost, that the balance is always going to be there. There will always be this artificial dichotomy that man interprets, and some of it's a natural dichotomy. I mean, we use things like night and day, black and white, to demonstrate this dichotomy, but there is always going to be two sides to a pole, but those are the extremes. Most things exist within most things exist within the medium of those poles. I feel like we're kind of getting way away from topic here.
I told you.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, it's all right. What I'm scratching my head here on, though, is this failure to understand that the United States of America, in its current state, and I can speak for that only, really, because I live there, it is a satanic nation. You know, it's not completely, purely satanic, but it is satanic in nature.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. But it's funny that, and, you know, it's funny, I was watching one of my favorite comedians last night. I just happened to come across this perfect timing, was Bill Hicks on a show stated the evolution of ideas. And in that interview, he was talking about bringing the unconscious into the conscious and how a lot of people want to see that is separate. And I'm with Bill Hicks on this one. I want to see the unconscious be made conscious. I want people to be aware of themselves, to know themselves. See, that's another thing about living in America, is we're a capitalist society. They're banking on the fact that we're stupid. They're banking on the fact that we're ignorant, because they get to dictate, you know, and sell products, and that's how they get to make a profit. You know, that's how they get to come out on top. They are banking on ignorance, and this is where this information war these days, you know, the internet, internet neutrality, all that stuff, is coming into play, is the fact that it's actually empowering individuals with knowledge, which is a great thing. And, you know, but back to this point that I'm making, that the unconscious, this is where I would agree with Bill Hicks. I want to see the unconscious, that which is satanic, be brought up as satanic in name and get people to realize that, or at least bring it up. It's going to go through a trial of conflict, but I would at least like to see people acknowledge and say, oh, well, that definitely is a possibility, rather than have it be at this, you know, say it's Christian, be satanic. It's total schizophrenia in my mind. It's madness.
Okay. All right. Well, with all that being said and done, let's kind of stop here and let's get back on to what the actual topic here is. I'm still waiting to be pissed off, man, because at this point, honestly, I'm kind of let down. I'm not upset at all by anything that's been said. So.
Oh, okay. Well, see, but that's pissing you off.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
You're pissed off the fact that you're not pissed off. So
I was waiting. I was going to make, you know, eyes are too close jokes or something. All right, but
nothing comes to mind. Maybe later. When it comes to me, I'll let you know.
All right. Yeah, I'm sure you will. In the meanwhile, let's get back here. The topic today is limitations within the left-hand path and its connection to spiritual pipe dreams. The obvious presentation that you've made is when people become self-deluded, when they begin to believe that they are more than what they are or are, will be more than what they can ever become. Those are clearly, obviously, spiritual pipe dreams. And I'm using the term spirit, I think, in the correct function as well, because, you know, the word spiritual, it's, you know, it's kind of like a dirty word here on the internet. It's one that everybody's got their own little spin for what it is. But, I mean, the obvious real thing of what a spirit is the energy that animates. You know, it animates the body.
I was about to bring that up. That was an excellent point that you made on the forums about, the spirit that animates, getting into the spirit of things. Recently with the holidays recently passed, getting into the spirit of Christmas. Your favorite football team at school, getting into the school spirit, etc. But anyways, continue.
So I guess what I'm trying to figure out here is at what point does allowing your ego to roam freely and be healthy get to be too much? I mean, because for it to be a pipe dream, it means that it's unrealistic. It's unreachable, unrealizable, however you want to put it there.
I think there might be a connection between the two, between it being, between what you imagine yourself to be and the goal at hand. You know, you may think, okay, I'm a huge bodybuilder. I've got big muscles, but in reality, you're a skinny guy and you can't lift all those weights.
Okay. Here's I started something yesterday, and I think I'm gonna keep rolling with it. I'm gonna start calling people out, because you and I could talk about this in private and gain probably just as much from it. So for other people to gain something, I think it's really good to get other spins here. I want somebody who is a total proponent of full ego fulfillment without any limitation or restriction. The pure enthusiast from megalomania to pick up the phone and dial 347-989-1371. And then I want somebody from the opposite side of the coin, which actually I think Dark Fool, you might work as well, but it would be nice if we could get somebody else out on here as well to kind of back up your argument as well. Somebody who believes that, at some point it becomes self-defeating, to call in 347-989-1371. We've got 30 minutes left in our regularly scheduled show, but you guys know I can bump it all the way up to another hour and a half. So let's get a good discussion here. Otherwise, I'm going to start making fun of somebody, and I'll let Lexi pick who I'm making fun of. So,
all right. Let's see here. What else could I say on the topic? Okay, back to the false dichotomy here between left-hand path and right-hand path, or one working within the other. Not false dichotomy. I mean the interrelation between the two. Wouldn't left-hand path need the right-hand path? And wouldn't that also be the same as saying that the God needs the devil and the devil needs the God?
Could you repeat the question? I'm sorry.
Oh, no worries. With this interplay with the right-hand path being related to the left-hand path and vice versa, wouldn't that just make the argument that the devil needs a God and the God needs the devil?
Well, I think that's certainly a logical construct that you can come to, though I'm not so sure that there's a necessary there's a necessarily inherent connection there that's really there. I mean, I suppose, you know, that would be a stance that, say, a staunch atheist might take against both Satanism and Christianity, is that they're two sides to the same coin. But I suppose if you put it in aspects of, you know, what a god is versus what a devil is, then it doesn't make any sense at all. You know, the idea of a god is omnipresence, omnipotence, all-knowing, all-present being, and it can be interactive with our daily lives, or it can be, what's the word I want to use, unconcerned, but, you know, so what does that have to do with a devil, which is an accuser or an adversary? How is there any connection or need for either? One becomes part of the other, in terms of that, you know, for something to be all things.
Exactly, exactly. So why be polarized to one specific path, like a left-hand path, when obviously there are elements of right-hand path that creep in because the two are interconnected?
Right, right, right on. So I'm still looking. There's no names here for me to call out on. So, all right, I'm going
to
go ahead and do...
I actually want to call out, if he's listening, I want to call out Tim is Hardcore, because this is what it means to be the adversary to the adversary. This is me criticizing the left-hand path, bringing up questions that a lot of people don't want to discuss. I mean, I've tried talking with various people on different forums.
Right on. Right on. I mean, what we're really trying to get here is... at what point is ego fulfillment a spiritual pipe dream, right? I mean, that's our question.
Absolutely.
On the table right now.
Absolutely.
So, let's see. How about this? Wicked Puppy, you're a smart dude. I know you got a telephone. Pick up the phone, dial it. You can do the ego fulfillment side of the story here. And, then we'll go with Nagasiva doing the reverse, the opposite side, when egos become counterproductive. Damn it, I don't have any phone numbers, otherwise I'd dial out and call them.
I'm gonna have to start doing, you know, Beast Mama is so fat jokes, just to keep this interesting.
You're going to do Beast Mama So Fat?
Yes.
Oh, I got to hear this. Give me a...
Beast Mama So Fat, her belt size is equator. Beast Mama is so fat that I'd take a train and two buses just to get on her good side.
Okay. I guess I'm going to do Dark... I'm going to do Dark Fool's Mama's So Ugly, jokes. Dark Fool's Mama's so ugly, they film gorillas in the mist in her shower. Dark Fool's Mama's so greasy, she uses bacon for Band-Aids.
Nice.
All right, wait a minute. Here we go. This is... Come on, damn it.
York.
Wicked Puppy.
Yeah.
What's up, man?
Nothing, just sitting here. Watching all the shit in the chat.
Alright. Do you think that there's a spiritual pipe dream in association with ego fulfillment?
We'll see, like, I want to say no. I think spiritual pipe dream can actually be detrimental to ego fulfillment.
Okay.
How so?
I guess it depends on how you view spiritual pipe dreams. Like, I hear the word spiritual pipe dreams and I think heaven, hell, karma in the metaphysical sense, and all those wondrous things that enrich right-hand pathers' lives, you know?
Right on.
And when too much concentration on that can detract from the self and end up with an elimination of the self.
Okay. Is there such a thing as too much concentration on the self?
Well, of course. How can you fulfill your ego if you can't step out of it?
Exactly.
Okay.
And see, this is where the argument that I'm bringing to the table is that, you know, there is a point at which you need to lay the self down in order to realize, you know, in order to fulfill certain things, in order to push certain goals out, you know, provided that you have accepted that you want certain goals to be manifested.
Yeah. But you have to understand what those goals are, and that's where I think ego fulfillment comes in, is the ability to look at, well, yourself, your ego, and go, well, this is what I want, instead of being deluded with random things in the way. Being able to understand what you want, why you want, and working towards fulfilling that is ego fulfillment.
Okay, I don't disagree with that at all. What I'm just trying to actually figure out if there's a point in which, if there is a point in which you have to step outside of your ego to reach things that are better for yourself, does that then make make it counterproductive pride if you don't?
Of course. Well, that's what I'm trying to say in some way or another, is that you need to be able to look at it. Well, not literally, of course, but step aside when shit hits the fan and go, well, what did I do wrong? And go, is this really what I wanted? And be able to understand, where you want that fulfillment to be. Like, I'm trying to think of an example, but I'm having trouble here.
That's not a problem. While you're thinking of an example, we actually have another caller now, so I'm going to go ahead and pop them on. I think it's Zach.
Kill yourself.
Hello?
No, Zach. Hey, guys.
Yo.
Hey, all right.
All right. So, do you have commentary on this?
Actually, I'm away from my computer. I just remember the number, and I called in, so I have no clue what the fuck you guys talked about.
Oh, we're talking about chicken porn, actually.
Oh,
yeah,
I like
it's
chicken
very
porn.
Tasty.
Yes.
Finger-licking good.
Finger-licking good. Yeah, it's the Colonel's secret recipe, right?
Mm, yeah, a little sticky dip.
No, what we're actually kind of looking at here is counterproductive pride a form of spiritual pipe dream? That's, I guess, is really the question.
I'm just going to listen. I'm going to listen to you guys for a little bit because I have way too much for me to jump into.
All right, so well, you want me to put you on mute, man?
No, put me on mute. I'll just, like,
okay,
make stupid jokes in the background.
Oh, all right. So you and Dark Fool will be doing about the same thing.
Ah, yes.
No, I'll be jumping in and out of it. You know, like
okay.
I may bring up an excellent point, and then like in the middle of it, go, you know, Beast Mom is so fat now.
That's
just derail
nice.
The entire conversation.
That's nice. Okay, but now what I'm trying to figure out, because we've obviously, you know, can logically come to the idea that there is such a thing as counterproductive pride. And obviously, is that a spiritual pipe dream?
I don't think it's a spiritual pipe dream. I think pride in itself can be a pipe dream. If people attach spiritual significance to it, of course it can be considered in that way, but I don't think I got orgasmic over here just flipping out on me.
Oh yeah, what's she got going?
I don't know. You want to chime in here?
Yeah, Yeah, I love these
discussions.
Oh, wow.
Hello.
Well, she's claiming she's on the other side of the fence.
Okay.
So I'm not entirely sure what that means. But, like, yeah. No, pride can be destructive. Pride can be, well, counterproductive. Yeah, it's all those negative things in one.
Well, through all of this, don't you... I'm sorry, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say it can be all those awesome things in one, those things that make you feel good at achievement in something, or things that make you feel good when you look around at all your shit and go, this is mine. And I got this, and I earned this.
Right, but
right.
here's the subtext. Here's what I'm really trying to say. Is there... Don't all of you see, because the right-hand path is about giving up of the self, and the left-hand path is about self-deification. Now, through these two things, whether it's spiritual pipe dreaming or whether it's through counterproductive pride, am I the only one that sees here the interplay between the right-hand path and the left-hand path and how they are not mutually exclusive and how there are times where you have to cross over where things might be a right-hand path trait, and times where you should, you know, obviously stay on the left-hand path?
Well, I don't disagree that there are things that cross over.
Okay, when, sure.
Well, I think it is. It's where that motivation is coming from. Because it's obviously the right-hand path tendency to help somebody else. But I'm sure we've all helped somebody else. But why do we do it? You know, we don't do it out of pride. Well, maybe out of pride. Some people do it out of pride. Or some people do it just because they want to. But they understand that's what they want. They don't see it as an act of charity or any type of shit like that. And do it based on their ego.
Okay. Now,
the other
point I wanted to bring up to that is it's almost like realism versus idealism.
Ooh.
And at what point do you kind of, like, have to get in the middle? Like, at what points do they need to intersect?
See, that's the iffy one, because I see idealism as a pipe dream.
Okay.
But it can be a useful
idealism. Right, but couldn't idealism, see, but that's the thing. The criticism within the left-hand path is that it's a pipe dream and it's automatically disregarded. But we're talking about, you know, Beast, you brought up earlier that the spirit motivates. You know, it's that, you know, when you talk about spiritual, quote-unquote, Satanism, wouldn't that spirit in and of itself be ideal in motivating things to move along further, maybe even quicker?
Spiritualism?
Well, let me first kind of throw something out there, because I didn't use the word motivate. I used the word animate, because...
Animate, okay.
Yeah, the word motivate attaches certain stigmas to it that aren't necessarily associated with the word spirit. But I think that animation is clearly what spirit does. Now, some spirits are motivated, and some spirits, we've all heard of driven spirits. So, you know, that's the idea when you're attaching, like, the spirit of the team, or, you know, team spirit, or holiday spirit, or something like that. But, you know, it in itself, and I think using the word spirit beyond, you know, what it really means is where we're kind of falling short here. All things in themselves, if they're living, they're animate. And sometimes even if they're not living, they're animate. This is just, you know, it's movement. I don't even want to say through time, because I tend to think that time is a byproduct of this process of animation. So I don't know if this really changes your question or... changes the way that you're kind of adding it, but this is the way that I perceive the spirit to be. It's just, you know, it's that little thing that you can hook an EM. What the fuck are they called? An EKG to, and measure. You can measure it. It's the electrical pulse in your body. It's the same electrical pulse that you'll find in a dog's body. You'd find in a rat's body. So I don't know how this affects your question, but
well,
please continue.
Actually, it's a good addition. It's a good addition. I like to see this billing. Doesn't motivation come from animation? When something is brought to life, doesn't it move? So
yes.
wouldn't that idealism be a positive thing in the sense that it gets things to move? At least, I mean, regardless of direction, at least gets it to move and gets things moved forward. And that's my main criticism of the left-hand path, is that in nomine, things are not moving. But obviously, outside of the left-hand path, outside of concepts and outside of what we agree upon, it's moving. And that's one of my goals, is to bring the unconscious into the conscious.
Okay, I think that there is a point in which an animation can be motivated. Is it necessarily a natural motivation? I don't think so. I think it was Socrates' old argument was that it moves regardless.
Okay.
And that meaning that whether the motive of it was understood, whether there even was a motive attached to it, it still continues forward because it is animated.
Right, and that's what we would, I think pretty much all of us would agree that is the satanic current.
Is that it moves regardless of motivation?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I agree with that.
I would not do either.
But what about, but see, that's the thing, is that is a certain type of motivation. There's also another type. There's the, obviously the physical motivation. But what about the ideal motivation? I mean, like I said, a lot of people see, I brought up data and interpretation in one of my other videos, like where we see the alpha and the omega point, et cetera, where we see the exponential line hitting the curve. You know, some people could say that, some people say that's evolution. Other people say that's the will of God. Other people say that's the will of Allah, you know? And that's what I'm saying, is that why don't we at least bring our points to the table and say, well, this is, you know, we equate it to a satanic current, and then show, you know, through process of education, show where we're coming from. And a lot of people would rather not be animated in that direction.
Now, I'm trying to understand what you're explaining here. Like, when you say bring things to the table for the satanic current, do you mean like how some people do with de facto Satanists and that type of information?
Absolutely. Yeah, showing people, guess what? You operate on a satanic level whether you realize it or not. Or at least, you know, it's bringing, like I said before, ad nauseum, it's bringing that which is not generally seen to the table.
It's bringing the occult and making it on the occult.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
I don't think that would ever fully work in any realistic sense.
How so?
Well, we have things that we can recognize as part of the satanic cult throughout history under different names, different memes, all that bullshit. But those things were generally not well received by the public. But they managed to infect slowly over time until a new name came up to take off where that one had left off. And we can go back to Nietzsche, who was Will to Power, as an Übermensch, and even then today that's still regarded as by the great vast majority of people, as irrelevant. But it's not. It's a moral humanity living. Then we can move it up a few years to Crowley with his Hermetic Dawn and Golden Dawn and all that shit, where every man and woman is a star, everyone has control of their souls, all that stuff, it's all in your head. Move it further to Ayn Rand with the complete removal of self-destructive actions, the indulgence of individualism and all this stuff. Move it up to today, it's still all under the radar. it'll never, no matter how accepted any of these things, including Satanism as it exists today, is among people we may know or understood among others we can talk to, will never be something that can be, have a light shine on it, at least not as it is. I bet that we would need an entire new meme to even have that one recognized as anything worth value.
Exactly. Now you're starting to understand what I'm doing with my book.
Interesting. We're actually about 9 minutes to the end of this. I'm not really sure if this is continuing as a productive on-topic discussion or if we're just going to side-rail in one way and the other, not really coming to anything. So I'll leave it up to you, gentlemen, as to if we're ending the show in 8 minutes or if we want to extend.
I think it's safe to end. I think, at least what I've said. I've said my piece, and I want to leave it there for people to find.
Okay.
I've said my cheer and what I think pipe dreams are, and throw it in my 2 cents for you. So I'm good. There's a pizza on the way.
There's a pizza on the way. That's good shit right there, man. All right. Well, thank you very much for calling in, man. I appreciate it. I'm glad I didn't have to, like, make any wicked puppy jokes or anything. I mean, I felt pretty bad yesterday.
I hate those jokes
yesterday.
Myself, man.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Awesome. With all that being said and done, I want to kind of bring up tomorrow night on this channel, 11 p.m., we're going to be discussing, Jason Sorrell and I will be discussing the legalization of marijuana. For those of you guys who are familiar with Jason Sorrell, either as Jason Sorrell or as Ego Diabolus, you all know he's one of those really very complex, well-thought people, so it should be a very interesting, kind of charming show. I'd like to invite everybody to come out and listen to it. Wicked Puppy, do you have anything that you'd like to plug while you're on the air?
Go to the Sin, visit the site. It is awesome.
Excellent.
No,
that works, man.
Yes.
Awesome. I'm glad that you didn't actually start talking about things you might want to plug in real life. So,
I've got nothing to plug in real life. Too busy.
Too busy. Awesome. Dark Fool, any last minute thinking or comments?
Don't fake the funk on a nasty dunk.
Alright. Do we have any more your mama jokes, beast mama jokes? I was actually kind of starting to like those.
Beast mama? No, not right now.
Shit, that's too bad, because I was going to signal the buzzer, man. I was all ready.
Do it anyway for dramatic emphasis.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. I deleted the buzzer after the last debate show, and I keep meaning to put it back on there, but I can't find a buzzer that really, truly is annoying enough for me.
Oh, okay. I got a homework assignment then.
Yes, yeah, it's got to be just the perfect pitch, the pitch that's just, it's worse than nails dragging across the chalkboard.
I say we bring in that, Jim Carrey clip from Dumb and Dumber, where he says, you want to hear the most annoying sound?
Right on. Maybe.
Maybe for the next debate show, whatever that may be.
That's pretty annoying. I mean, but on the same caliber, we could actually do the Lollipop Guild song, because that's just as damn annoying.
Oh, gosh. Or, you know, we could just steal anything from Mr. Heartshaped Box Show. You know, his music is pretty damn terrible.
Right on. What I actually want to throw out here now, there's about 4 minutes remaining in the show. I'm once again going to ask everybody. To email us some suggestions for topics. If you'd like to appear on the Ooze, definitely send me a message either on Sin or you can send me a message to my email, theooze@fearthebeast.com. Other than that, I'm out of shit to say, and to be quite honest with you, once again, mentally bankrupt, so.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm kind of disappointed that nobody came in. But, oh, well. Well, I mean, well, obviously, besides Wicked Puppy, Zach, I was hoping for Jason King, personally.
From my understanding, he's no longer listening to the show during the period in time that it... oh, wait a minute. Here comes Zach. Zach.
Oh, here we go.
What's up, gentlemen? Sorry, sorry it was so loud before. I was on the beach and there was a fucking Starbucks and fucking ass and tits everywhere. I got distracted. I'm back.
That's not a problem, man. We're like 3 minutes to go. And
was it Beat Zeno's mama's fat ass?
damn it! Where's that buzzer?
I would tell you in the show, or is this literally the last 3 minutes?
This is really the last 3 minutes, or the show's pretty much done, man.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so I'm just kind of rambling it out, trying to get it as close to an hour as I can so I don't feel like I cheated anybody.
I gotcha. Cool.
Yeah, man, and I was actually saying something right before you called in, or maybe Dark Fool was saying something. It doesn't even kind of matter now.
I'm just gonna hang up on you guys. This is ridiculous. Kill yourself.
Get the fuck out of here, biatch.
Oh, that's what I was saying, Jason King. He's not listening to the show anymore live because he's too tempted to call in, and he, is I guess practicing a little bit of humility. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's last thing I heard. Anyway. Still a great guy. Still would recommend anybody who has half a brain to pick up a copy of Postmodern Satanism.
Yep.
Good plug. Or 5 books of Cain. And on that note, let's end the show and say goodbye.
Bye, guys. And ladies.